Therefore, since we have such a hope, we're very bold. We're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we've renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth, plainly we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I don't know what struck you in any of the three readings this morning. I don't know what memories you were having as we were talking about smells and things like that. But it's interesting how words and smells can trigger memories. Of course, with memories, we can sometimes forget the not so nice bits, the rose-tinted glasses. Oh, it was better in the old days. I know I'm getting old because I know that's true, right? But those notions, and those of us, you know, will remember in our working careers, particularly as we were coming towards the end of them, how somebody suddenly had a bright idea that we had tried 48 years ago. And it didn't work then, and it's not going to work now. We know that our memories act as filters and change our perception. Equally, we can look at memories as a measure, as a way of defining just how good something is today. When the memory becomes the measure that we use to assess things, we may be missing a point. I have been involved in many a conversation with people, not only within our denomination, but with other denominations, and frequently the thing that they always get to is they ask you how many people come to your church. It's a little like a league table. We have six. Oh, you're not doing very well then. We have 3,000. To which the answer is, how many of them do you know? When we do a measure, we forget that things have changed. And the Sunday that most of us grew up with no longer exists. Most of us, 50 years ago, would not have come dressed to church as you have come dressed today. Because you would have had your Sunday best and woe betide you if you tripped and scratched your shoe. Things have changed. You see, we're very good at accommodating the changes that we like, but we're not so good at accommodating the changes that others might wish us to like. And you are wondering how the gospel reading and so forth can possibly fit into those notions. Let's go back to the notions of smells. I picked things, partly because I had whatever was available, but I picked things that would have a distinctive smell, aroma, which could well trigger a bit of a word association. So we had cinnamon as the starter. What do you associate with cinnamon? Hot cross buns? Pancakes? Christmas? Generally speaking, it's food, isn't it? For sustenance. But we can pinpoint it seasonally. And our memories will immediately float away. Because for the precise moments that we were saying hot cross buns, pancakes, and Christmas, that's where your heads went. And it wouldn't have mattered what I was saying. The trigger was there. The mint sauce. Sunday roast. Coach trips. Whoa. You had exciting ones, didn't you? Minted lamb for lunch. There you go. Mash your peas by the coast. We immediately can do the association. We go along with a memory and we'll be conditioned by it. So when you were talking of your roast dinner, you probably had the image of what that table was laid out like when your mother cooked it. Probably not when you've cooked it. But we immediately deflect away to something else. The vanilla, the lavender, we could do the same things, but we won't. But we associate moments of time. And you know, sometimes we can feel a little guilty about those memories. Because sometimes a memory like that will then trigger a regret. Something that we wish we hadn't forgotten about. We have the phrase, don't we, the sweet smell of success. I don't think anybody's bottled that, because if they had, we'd all have it, I know. But. So let's get to that gospel reading. Let's get to Mary buying very, very expensive perfume, which Judas thought was a complete waste of money. It could have been better used, according to Judas. It's interesting that in the Bible reading, when we get that from Judas, we also get the next bit telling us that he was to do something rather horrible shortly afterwards. We immediately diminish what he's saying. If you watch the news today, you will see the same things happen, where we will say something and immediately there's a negative. We have to get from the gospel reading this morning something rather different than that. We have got to get the positivity that comes from that gospel reading. The fact that Mary really did want to exactly show what she felt about Jesus. As we know, Perfumes were used to anoint dead bodies. So is it a precursor to that? Is it a reminder of burials in general and the coming death that Jesus would suffer shortly afterwards? Was there something prophetic in what Mary was doing? Was she seeing a future? Judas, as we know, had his own agenda. And according to that passage in John's Gospel, that agenda was more about personal gain than the good of others. It's interesting that Jesus didn't engage in a debate about charitable causes, but he actually commends Mary for basically putting herself out, for recognizing that the treasure that was Jesus, she wouldn't have forever. It was putting a true value on faith. It was Mary showing that she was investing her time and her very meager material gains into faith, into the recognition that Jesus had to become the center of lives. It may seem to us as an extravagant gesture. It may look like an expensive gift. But there's no suggestion that Mary was buying favor, that Mary was wanting something else out of this, a special place. Remember that in those times, the role of the woman was a very diminished role. So this really is a strikeout for feminism at an early age. And Jesus showing that you accept all and you welcome all and that we are an inclusive group. It's also a clear identification of Mary practicing her faith, of going the extra mile, of accepting that the principle mattered. She knew that she would not necessarily get total support from the disciples. But she knew that it was important to honor Jesus. We can sometimes, in our Christian faith, forget that honoring of Christ. We can sometimes forget about, it's an old-fashioned word, but that submission to the faith, of asking, what do you really want us to do, Jesus? What is our real role in life? What should our focus be? How can we as a church come together to make sure that this message is kept alive? All of us here will come and go. We're stewards of the faith. It is for us to find that common approach, that approach that puts Jesus, we've sung about it, at the center of everything. As we come towards Easter, we celebrate the fact that Jesus gave us a second chance, an opportunity to regain that relationship with God. to put everything aside and to work for good. We need to ask the questions. Have we got the balance right in the way that we do things? Are we putting our effort and our energy into the right things? And we can always ask, how did Jesus get the balance right? When we come together with all the readings that we've had this morning, there's that lovely line in that final reading from 2 Corinthians. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We don't need people to interpret things for us. We can collectively do that through prayer, through conversation, but we do need to know the truth.